shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth being our bitch on this show, we were going to have Rudy Canoza to host the show tonight, but things just started so quickly that I couldn't get out of here fast enough, and Rudy couldn't get in here quick enough, so...
And you did promote it.
I did promote it, so Rudy, hold on, okay? What? I'm going to hold on. Rudy will be in here at a quarter after the hour. And at that time, Rudy Canoza will be guest hosting the program because we do have some, we have something, some business to take care of.
What is it, we or I?
I say we so that it doesn't sound egotistical.
Yeah, but I mean, you say we what?
I don't, never mind about what we, I said we because it's.
It is a device that is used when people don't want to sound, as Phil said, egotistical or. All stuck up.
Yes, I don't want to sound all stuck up.
Yeah. Well, okay, but I just said we.
I know what I said, bud, and if you try to confuse me, it only makes things worse on me and you. By the way, we screened a film before the show tonight on Phil TV and HD, the pre-show. What did you think of Diary of a Nudist, Margaret?
I thought that it was very interesting. It was very much a period piece. Are you laughing at me saying period piece?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a period piece. A period. You are such a child.
Bud, come on.
Well, I said it's a period piece.
So what? What she means is it was something that was distinctly from that era. When was it made?
It was made in 1961. I remember this film because Catherine Albright, who was, I was her protege. She was a producer, and she screened this for a group of us. And please hold your laughter and your guffaws, if you don't mind, Bud and Robert. But she had a film class for co-eds and screened this for us one night at her home in the Palisades.
All right, so I just, I don't mean...
Don't make an issue. It wasn't a lesbian scene, Phil.
Well, I mean, you're trying to tell us it is.
No, I'm not.
Well, then why'd you say don't make a scene out of it? Yeah, you led us down the garden path.
I'm not leading... You know, Bud, the only place I'll lead you is directly off about a 60-foot-high bluff. All right?
I would fall and die.
There we go. Now you're getting the message.
All right, come on. Just hold on. So you screened Diary of a Nudist...
Yeah, Phil, it's not some big piece of... It's not an expose. It was a co-ed film class that Catherine Newbite...
I thought you said her name was something else.
What?
Catherine or...
No, Catherine Newbell.
Yeah, Catherine Newbite.
No, I said Catherine Newbell.
I don't know who. All right, who is she?
She's a producer. She's dead now. But we were co-eds. There was about 20 of us. We were all in our sophomore year. I was at the University of Pennsylvania. And I came out for a film school, a sort of an internship in the summer. And we were invited to her home to screen Diary of a Nudist. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was fascinating. I was curious, as were the other girls. And later on, Catherine turned the lights on in the pool. No, it wasn't what you're thinking. And again, I have to warn people off of that. We discussed, we went for a swim, we had sandwiches. That was it, as far as I know. Now, I'm just speaking for myself.
All right, well, okay. So, you know, you're telling us not to think of it.
Yeah, you're telling them not to think, but it sounds like more. So you said as far as you know.
I don't know what the other girls decided to do.
All right, were you trying to tell me that this was a... Are you trying to say that this was a film class that was being conducted by an older woman and there were a bunch of you younger girls and then she turned the pool lights on and served sandwiches and you don't know what else happened, but it seemed okay to you?
I think that's what I just said. Boy, what a brain surgeon.
Well, Margaret, you know, you're the one saying, I don't know, don't think about lesbian. You brought the word up lesbian.
Because I know how you guys think. Don't ever be fooled. Don't ever think that I don't know how the three of you think. Don't ever think that I don't know the bucket of sewage that you marinate your brains in for at least a half hour before every show.
Well, that's...
Well, you know, Phil, I'm sorry. The truth hurts.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at? She's talking about you, too. All right, Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, Diary of a Nudist will be screened this weekend. Check out our website to... to get the times on the screening of Diary of a Nudist. It will be also a special screening because commentary from Harvey Weierman and his friend Hal Brick will be a part of that, right? Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, I think Hal Brick or Frank Gray, I don't know who.
All right, either Hal Brick or Frank Gray will be with Harvey as they do a special guest commentary on Diary of a Nudist this weekend on Phil TV. Check it out at philhenryshow.com. Other big news this weekend. I think this is probably the biggest piece of news that I've come across, and it may not seem that way to you, but in all honesty, we only...
No, do we like...
Well, I was going to say we only read stories that we're interested in, but yeah, we only do the things we like. Now, Ted Johnson, former New England Patriot linebacker. You remember Ted Johnson, a Southern guy, a Texas guy, a very, very good football player. Ted Johnson was quoted on the radio as commenting on Vince Wilfork's wife, calling her ugly. Bianca Wilfork was the target of unfair remarks by Ted Johnson, former New England Patriot linebacker. He stepped all over that line that you're not supposed to cross when he recently said on his Houston radio show that current Patriot lineman Vince Wilfork had the ugliest wife in the NFL. Now, obviously, that's a completely unacceptable series of comments. It doesn't surprise me that an amateur like Ted, and I say amateur, Mr. Johnson, with all due respect, but this is one of my wheelhouse topics. This is Phil Henry country here, okay?
Well, what do you mean?
What I mean is this. I'll keep saying this until I'm completely out of the radio business and the way things are going, you know, sooner rather than later. But I all I'm saying is, as a professional and as a professional of many, many years, I will constantly be jumping all over this topic. I jumped all over Brian Cox, a former middle linebacker of the Miami Dolphins. I'm not saying that I got the better of Mr. Cox. If you're listening, Brian, you know you're the man, okay? You're the man. On the football field, in the broadcast booth, you know who the man is.
You didn't say that about Brian Cox.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Of course I did. What, are you crazy? Are you trying to tell me that all the time, all the sweat, all the years that I've put in, that a lot of people have put in, I'm supposed to step aside for a football player who's got about 14 minutes worth of experience? I understand the guy's going to get the job. I'm not saying that. When I say step aside, I mean I'm going to, you know, step back and let him get on a red carpet. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. See, if I tried to be a football player, obviously it would be a joke. Now, it is more likely that an athlete can make a good broadcaster than it is a broadcaster can make a good athlete. But nonetheless, there are rules of the road. There are dues to be paid. There are a great many things to learn. This is a medium that if you want to take the time, and fewer people do want to take the time, but if you want to take the time, this is a medium that you can learn to master in a variety of different ways. That's if you want to take the time. A lot of people don't because they don't have the chops. A lot of people don't because they're scared to. A lot of people don't because they're too stupid. I mean, we got all kinds in this business, just like in any other business. A radio and television, but most importantly, radio. Radio caters these days to the amateur. Now, I just heard a prominent program director right here in Los Angeles. What's he looking for? He's looking for an afternoon drive show. And what does he want? He wants a name, not a radio name. He wants some Hollywood name. So if there's anybody listening who's a Hollywood name, you know.
Well, I know some people.
Well, that's great, Margaret. Why don't you go ahead and take a job from some guy?
That's the point. I want to give a job to the Hollywood guy.
I know people that are, people would flock to the radio to listen to them.
Give me a name.
I'm not at liberty.
Just come on. Give me one name.
I'm not at liberty. I don't want. I wanted to, and I thought about it. No, I won't.
Well, you don't want to say.
No, I don't. All right, Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin has a radio show in New York.
Yes, I know, but he would much rather be on the air in Los Angeles. Thank you.
Well, whatever. I mean, the point that I'm trying to make here is, when you put an amateur on the air, and I don't give a damn if he is a well-known amateur, like Ted Johnson. He's a football player. He used to be a football player. And he can talk X's and O's and can talk sports. But when you ask the guy to freelance, which is what you need to get ratings, sooner or later, man, that's what you got to have because it sets the shows apart. Everybody can X and O. Everybody can talk X's and O's. Everybody can sit there and talk about, you know, what the team has to do this Sunday to win the game. But when you get right down to it, you have to have those intangibles. It's called personality. It's called style. It's called chops. It's called, you know, broadcasting. This is why Rome is the best known and probably the most listened to sports radio host in America. You think he knows more about the X's and O's? There's guys that know 50 times more than he does. He's got broadcasting chops. He's got a style, you see? So Ted Johnson comes along as a guy as a linebacker, great. Played football, great. New England Patriots, fantastic. Does he know how to do a show? No. Is he going to get himself sued? Yes. Is he probably going to get fired? Probably. I don't know. You know, I mean, look, the way these guys are, how nervous these jackballs are, Johnson will be happy if he lasts another week in that gig. The way these general managers and program directors are these days, I mean, they are crapping green bricks.
What a visual.
I'm telling you. All right, we'll come back with more of this. And Rudy Canoza, I should say, is up next. Right, Rudy, you ready to go?
I'm ready, yeah.
Rudy Canoza, guest hosting. I'm going to go in the back and do some meditating, make my, you know, attend to my still, because we're still working on that brew. And then I've got to take it overland by truck. I can't get into it, but we've got a big delivery to make tonight by midnight. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Rudy Canoza.
And a very good evening to you. This is Rudy Canoza, and I want to thank my very good friend, Phil Hendry, who has allowed me to come in and to be the guest host this evening. This, for me, is a great honor, and thank you very much, Phil. I'm so sorry. Wherever you are, I know that Phil is now is left to go and to look after the homebrew that he has at his home in the beach as not too far from here, and it's about the three blocks. And he has a homebrew where he does this kind of, what you say, is a homebrew, like a moonshine, you know, and he is looking after that. I asked him, Phil, is it all right, I say, and he says, I don't care. So he knows that if he has a homebrew, that here in California, that the... there's not a police looking for the homebrew. Unlike if you live in some parts of America, there's a homebrew, there's the moonshine. And they have a revenue and the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm. These are the people, what they call the revenue. I know a lot about American history, and it's very, you have a great country. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to say to you tonight, you have a great country. I travel to America as much as I can. I do great business here. Most of my business is import-export. And I also own Je T'aime Lingerie, which is located in Sherman Oaks, California. I feel that I am very fortunate to have my company and the business that I do. I am very fortunate to have it here in America, because I would never want to be anywhere but America. To make my friends and to do my business. I love my country, which is Argentina, and I've seen my country come through so much, and I believe Argentina with a great future. And today, of course, my countrymen and I as well, we celebrate the fact that the Holy Father, the Catholic Church, is from Argentina. This is such a very, very proud moment for every Argentinian. But my travels take me, and fortunately, my travels take me to this great country, America, for which I would die. And I'm not even an American citizen, but I would die for America. That's how much I love it here. I would lay my life down for this great land, because I know that without America, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. Without America, there is nothing. There is desolation. There is loneliness and sadness, and there is a bleak future, a bleak landscape. Imagine the world without an America. A bleak place. A road to nowhere. It was America that gives us the future. So I'm very proud, and I don't want to go on and on. My name is Rudy Canoza, and I am filling in here on the Phil Henry Show, PHIL. I want to get the name because this is my friend. And I know Phil for now 12 years. I met Phil at the Pier 1 Imports. Then I was there with ashtrays that I had some things for the house, and I was selling some ashtray. I had a different, you call a knick-knack. Knick-knack, you know. And I was selling to Pier 1 and to IKEA and the different places, ashtrays, I don't know, sushi dishes and candlestick, you know, and I had the fold-out futon. How many of you remember the futon, huh? Huh? You remember the futon, don't you? You remember the futon, huh? And that was the bed. This was 20 years ago. I sold the futon. Huh? Me, Rudy Canoza, yes. I'm not saying that I was the only one, but I will say that I'm one of the few that put the futon on the map in America. Huh? I'm very, very proud of that. Very, very proud of that. And all the guys, lots of guys who, I don't mean to laugh, but lots of guys who got kicked out by their wife, you know, she found him doing whatever he was doing. She throw him in the street. He's a man, he's thrown in the street by his wife. He's thrown in the street. Living like an animal. He has no wife, no family. Why? Because he was behaving improperly with another woman. And who is she? Some woman he might have met in a mini mart. You know, she's behind the counter. And she has a face, you know, no teeth, the front, you know, but hey, from the neck down, hey. Ha ha. Marone, you know, there's the Italian say, it's a Marona, you know. Oh, she's beautiful, you know, when you look at a woman like that. And this happened to Rudy. This happened to Rudy. My wife, she threw me out because I had a weak moment. I met this woman at the Department of Motor Vehicle. This was in Orlando, Florida. And I was there on import-export business for my company. I saw this woman. She was from the neck up, it was rough. Wow.
Woo!
I think of it, it was just rough. But from the neck down, she was magnificent. In every way, she must have been 70. I am not kidding. You believe? I know there's men listening to me now. They don't believe me, but I know that you know that I'm not lying. You must know that I am not lying. I tell you the truth. I saw this woman. She looked good. And I said, my God, I must have this. There's no way you could keep me away from something like this. 70 years of age, from the neck up. You know, have you ever done, if you saw a face at the window in the middle of the night, you woke up and you look at the face, you go, yeah, like that, you know, that's what I did. She turned around and said, may I help you? And I said, forgive me, but, God, like that, you know. But then she turned around, she said, well, let me help someone else and I'll be right. And I went, my God, she's magnificent. That's what I said. That's what Rudy says, you know. So, when I met this woman, and yes, of course I did. You must, every man must. If you meet a woman like that, and she has the body like that, especially a butt like that, you must take her to bed. There is no doubt. Rudy took her to bed, as Rudy will. See, when Rudy sees a woman like this, and Rudy, he wishes to be faithful to his wife, but what is a man to do, especially if he is Rudy? If you are me, and you see this, of course you must take the woman to the bed. And my wife found out about this, and she said, Rudy, I'll never forget her words. She said, you shag your ass out onto the pavement. I said, my love, she said, no, you take it out on the pavement. Get it on the pavement now. I said, you mean the street? She said, no, the pavement. The street is too good for you. Onto the pavement. You understand what this means when your wife says this to you. And so that is where I went. And I met this young lady. I said to her, you know, even from the neck up, man, I can't do it, man. But I knew I had to do some work. to entice her into my life. So I said to her, the Argentinian way, and I will speak more about this later. I said to her,
"Ala, la 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 la."
And she looked at me and she said, "Ah, Rudy. Every woman will do. I'll be right back." This is Rudy Canosa filling in for Phil Henry here tonight here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Rudy. That's what she said.
What is your name?
My name is Morikeba Kouyaté.
Ah.
And I'm from Senegal.
Phil Henry.
Oh. I love that music. That is from my country, and a very, very warm welcome to you. This is Rudy Canosa filling in on the Phil Henry program. Can you hear that? You hear the music, you hear this drum, that nylon string is beautiful, and I want to thank Jesse for finding for me, you know, the music of my homeland. Ah, yes. I also wanted to play tonight, if I can, we'll find some Brazilian Mother South American music, which is, and the reason why is a lot of times people will say, Rudy, you are successful with a woman. The women will come to you and they will lay with you. And I say to them, this is true. Rudy is successful with the women. And many times the woman, she comes to me, she lays with me. But I never, ever disrespect the woman. Never. Never. Don't you ever disrespect your woman. A woman you disrespect is a woman that you have made an enemy of. You make an enemy of a woman, you've made an enemy of a witch, and you make an enemy of a witch, you die, and you die, and you burn. You go to hell. You go to the hell that every culture, every religion, our ancestors speak of hell. The hell that you are sent to is the hell that you are not sent to by God. You're not sent to the hell by the God or by the angels. You're not sent to hell by man. You are sent to hell by the woman. It's the woman that sends you to hell. Because it is only the woman that has the power, only the woman that has the power to send a man straight to hell. And I have been in that hell. Believe me when I tell you. So you treat the woman with respect, you beginning with your mother, and then with your sisters, and with your aunts, and with the cousins, and your family. And then you extend your respect out to the women that you meet in the world and the women that one day might be, if you're lucky, to be the wife and to be the mother of your children. You must respect. And Rudy had no respect. Rudy wound up in the street. I wound up in the street with this woman I met at the Department of Motor Vehicle. Yes, I took her to my bed. And perhaps for one, for two, for three, for five, even for 2 days. Or maybe even a week or 3 weeks. I had my fun. I had my kicks. I had my laughs. Rudy had his fun, but Rudy then paid. Rudy paid by going to hell. I was sent to hell by my wife. I think of her today, Rosanna. Oh, Rosanna. You remember the song, "All I Want to Do in the Middle of the Evening is Hold You Tight, Rosanna, Rosa." I used to think of that song, and then I was told that the song was written about Rosanna Arquette, and I thought, I couldn't go there, so I had to find another song. But let me tell you, before we get any further on in the story, that you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and you must get the backstage pass. Now, in my culture, in my country, to say backstage pass, this is an intimacy between a man and a woman that I'm not going to, at this particular time, talk about, because I understand the cultural difference, and I know the modesty in American people, and my people, very modest people as well. Please don't get me wrong. The people of Argentina are very modest people, and the people have great high values and great respect for family, but we also know how to love. We know how to love. We have respect and we have modesty and we are a people who are a kind, but we also know how to love. We know how to love. So if you go to a backstage pass, you can see Phil TV which is the television that is on right now, and I'm looking at Rudy right now, as he is broadcast on the Phil TV in HD. Please do join us on Phil TV with your backstage pass. The other thing that they would like me to say is that this weekend they will repeat a showing of Diary of a Nudist. Did you see Diary of a Nudist? Diary of a Nudist. See, the nude for the Argentinian, this is something that is an everyday occurrence when there is so much love and passion. The nude is nothing. The nude means nothing. It is the love. But the Diary of a Nudist was showed tonight on Phil Henry TV, so you should get your backstage pass and watch Diary of a Nude. And that will be happening this weekend as well. Now, I want to go to something, and we were going to take some phone calls as well, because I understand that the talk radio, you know, you take the phone calls. And I wish very much to do this. But first, I want to give you my topic. And my topic is the topic of this man, Mr. Wilfork, that you heard my friend Phil Henry speak of, and this man, Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson, a middle linebacker. He's a football player. I don't know the sport the way Americans play it, but I do know the football sport as we play in South America and the rest of the world, as what you call soccer. That's what we call football. But I don't know this other game. But I do know the Americans, very important. But this big man, he says of the other man, he said, your wife, she looks like a pig. Do you know, in my culture, if a man said to another man, your wife, she reminds me of the face of a pig. Do you know that there is nothing that man has constructed? There are no earthworks. There is no Maginot line. There's no Gothic line. There's no fortress, no castle, no moat. There's no Great Wall of China. There's no Hadrian's Wall. There's no fortification, no fixed fortification the man has ever conceived of or man has ever built that would ever keep me away from the man who called my wife a pig. I would go through anything. I would go through concrete, steel, iron to get to the man. Because a man calls my wife a pig, I know who he is. You know my name. Rudy. Gnade. You call my woman a pig, you know my name. Like the song, the James Bond, you see. If you take a ride... Anyway, I don't know. I don't care. To hell with it. To hell with it. But what happened was that Ted Johnson, the man is Vince. His wife is Bianca. And that was another mistake. He said, this man that Vince Wilfork is married to, oh, yes, sure, it's a woman, but this man, Bianca... She looks to me, for all the world, like a sow. Like nothing more. Can you imagine this? That a man would say this about your wife, that she looks nothing more to me than a blue ribbon winning, prize winning sow. Nothing could keep me from that man. And I am not speaking in a whimsical way either. If there are people who would say, oh, Rudy, you sound like you're attracted to him. You're, no, okay, I'll show you how attracted I am to him. I'll show you how attracted I am to a man like that when he loses his head. The guidelines of respect between a man, another man, and that man's woman should never be overstepped. Otherwise you die. I think I speak for a great many men when I say this. You never disrespect a man's wife. I predict, Rudy predicts, and this is only my prediction. I don't know American culture, but I think that Vince Wilfork is going to find this man, Ted Johnson, and sit on him. He's going to flatten him. He's going to create such mayhem in the spinal column, in the lower back, in the knees, in the elbows. I don't know what is left of this man that could actually move. I don't know if he's walking around in metal crutches or what, but this man, Ted Johnson, only thing left of him will be his Johnson. Ted Johnson. Now, we're going to take a phone call tonight. I'm so grateful to be with you. And we have a Vernon. Vernon, I don't want you to come on this program because you and I know each other, and I'm very grateful you did, my friend.
Okay. How are you doing, Rudy?
I am very, very good. And my friend, thank you for coming on and being my first guest this evening.
Well, I'm very, very grateful to do that for you. And you were talking about wives. I've had a couple of them myself.
Yes, I know you've had two, and your first wife passed on, God rest her soul. What was her name?
Well, my first wife was Shirley, and my current wife is Stephanie, although sometimes I call her Amber. And
why do you call her Amber?
Well, I like the color Amber.
Ah, like the sun filters through the trees at the sunset there.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's like a glass of champagne. Yeah, a glass of champagne.
You love your wife, don't you?
I do. I love my wife very much, and as a lot of people know the story, Rudy, I met my wife when I was teaching her as a student at Belmar Academy.
She was a student of yours.
Was that?
She was a student of yours, your wife, Amber.
Yes, she was. And she was a senior. She was about the most beautiful thing that I'd ever laid my eyes on.
Ah, yes. Isn't that what the poetry...
It is.
Isn't that what the poetry is made of, to see a beautiful young lady? Now, how old were you at the time?
I was 57.
And she was how old?
She had just turned... she was 17.
Now, you know that you can't have a romance...
No, I know that.
It's not allowed to have the romance. You were 57, she was 17, so you were 40 when she was born.
Yes, I was 40.
And so you are old enough not just to be her father, but her grandfather.
Yeah, pretty much.
And 17, were you attracted to her, and I have to ask you this.
Yes.
Were you attracted to her sexually?
I didn't allow myself to, Rudy, and this is a very important point. I knew that she was beautiful, and I knew that I, right then and there, wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And again, I was 57. I was 56. 57, she was 17, so she turned 18, and I was 58. And I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, but I knew that any thought, any sexual thought, was absolutely wrong. And I asked God, because I'm a teacher at a private school, I asked God to help me, and God did help me. God gave me the means by which I could break myself of any impure thought. And as I think back on it now, of course, it was quite painful, but it was something that was worth it.
And you should say, because, you know, Vernon, I don't want you to relive anything that is horrible or something of a traumatic, but we have so many men listening tonight. And they fall in love, perhaps, with a younger woman, a girl. They know their sexual thought is impure.
Yes, sir, it certainly is.
And they wish to know how you kept from deflowering and despoiling and breaking the law.
I wouldn't do that.
But you kept your honor, did you not? And you kept her honor.
I did.
We want to find out what you did to be able to keep them down on the farm once they've seen Paris.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
All right, we're going to be right back here. That is my friend Vernon, and let's find out what he did as he fell in love with a young lady, a flower of the foothills of the California mountains. He fell in love with her, but yet, he kept his honor. He kept their honor. I'm Rudy Canoza, in for Phil Henry here, the real Phil Henry, the beautiful Phil Henry, the wonderful Phil Henry Show, and we will be right back here in PhilHenryShow.com. Listen to this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yes, dance around. Yes, dance. We all must dance.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Do you hear this? This is the music of my home country. I'm Rudy Canoza, and welcome back to the Phil Henry Show this evening. This is music, a beautiful acoustic guitar from my country of Argentina. I miss my home so many days. You must come to my country. I wish each and every one of you to come to visit the food and the beautiful women, and of course, it's such a beautiful country, the mountain ranges, and we have the snow. Only you must go south to get to the snow in my country, as opposed to, for instance, if you live here in America, you go north to Canada. That's not America, I know, but it's not America. It's Canada. Canada. And I have a great many friends in Canada, too. Done a lot of good business, made a lot of dollar, made a beautiful dollar in Canada. Lovely, lovely sealskin. Quote, I know, don't stop, don't say. I know a lot of you, but Do you know something? The seal man, this man, he is the seal man. I call him the seal man, but he's a man. And they take the seal, you know, and they make a beautiful coat. If you saw some of the jackets, some of the waist jackets, I've got a beautiful thing in seal that goes right to mid-calf for a man. So this is the man's trench coat made completely out of seal. You love it. You love it. Let me speak now. Let me speak of what is it? What the Lewis Carroll? It's time to speak of Cabbages and Kings, with my friend Vernon Dozier of, and we are talking, Vernon, here about your young wife Amber, how you met her.
That is correct, yeah.
And we're also going to talk about how you kept from having a carnal relations with an underage woman, because you met your wife Amber. She was 17.
Yes, she was 17, and she was a student of mine. And maybe I should have given her a sealskin coat. She might have.
If you had to give her a sealskin coat, she would have. Then for sure, you would have broken the law and been put in prison as a pederast or pedophile. So I don't want this to happen to you.
No, thank God I didn't. But I was thinking, as you described the sealskin, especially the mid calf sealskin. I'm an older man, but I think it might.
It would look wonderful on you. It would look wonderful on you. It would look wonderful because it is a stylish, I would call like a London fog cut. It belts in the middle made of, I should not say, but it is made of seal bone, the belt.
In other words, I'm not going to be making any friends with any women that are, animal lovers.
Well, I don't know. It all depends. If Rudy, and I want to tell my friends about this, if you're dating a woman who is PETA, she's a animal rights, and you're wearing a sealskin jacket, I can tell you, I can guarantee the romance for you. That is something, do you believe that?
That's hard to believe.
I can tell you right now, I can do it. I will give you my tips, Rudy's five-step plan for the romance with a woman who is an animal lover. Even if you pick her up for a night, a visit first to the zoo?
No way, I just want to be clear. You're telling me
right
that I can go out with a woman who's an animal rights activist and take her to the zoo wearing a sealskin coat?
That is exactly right.
And then where else?
Then you go, here's what you do. You take her to the zoo, you're wearing your sealskin coat, then you have a dinner of wild game.
Wild? You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I did this one night in New York City. I did it in New York City, one of my favorite cities in America. Only a city that's my more favorite city in America. I've got the views of Los Angeles. I love San Francisco. I love Miami. 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 Now tell me, Vernon.
Yes.
You have this 17-year-old woman.
Yes. Well, girl.
Girl. It's exactly right. It's a girl. And yet you see her as a flower. You see her as a flower to be picked. You are in love. You're in the purest kind of love, aren't you?
It was real love, Rudy. Absolutely. It was not carnal. I thought she was magical. I thought she, when I laid eyes on her, this is going to sound silly, but I felt I had a very bad eczema on my right arm, and I felt my, and I also and I battled my entire life, some acne, and I felt my face clear up.
You felt it. Did you say that again?
I felt when I looked at her and I felt the warmth and the beauty, I felt my face beginning to clear up. And I know it couldn't have been.
Did your face physically manifest a clearing? Did you see the zits, not the zits, but did you see the pimple?
I did. The next day I saw a visible clearing. And I had a can, not a bottle, but a can of Stridex medicated pads.
Do they still use those?
I had them, and I also had a bottle of Physahex that dries your skin up. It's like putting sulfuric acid on your skin because you already look bad with the acne. So how bad can it get? And you go ahead and just burn a layer of your face off, and that might have been one of the reasons why I didn't have acne the next day. But I'm pretty sure it was because just looking at her, I could feel one pimple for sure dry up, and maybe more.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Yes.
Isn't that something what love can do? Now, you don't want to have sex with her. What did you do?
I put myself through the 12 trials. Bahamas. These are tried and true. My father used them when he decided to stop having sex with my mother shortly after the birth of my sister. And I put myself through the 12 traumas, and they are, you back a car over one of your hands, you spend at least half of a day in freezing water.
This is difficult for you to think, isn't it?
Oh, it's very traumatic.
Okay, go ahead, my friend. I'm with you. Rudy is with you.
The third of the 12 traumas is to catch anyone who can throw a fastball at least 90 miles an hour, catch his warm-ups nude. So in other words...
Are you barehanded?
No, you have a catcher's mitt, but the rest of you is stark naked, and he's throwing nothing but fastballs.
All right, that is the third trauma.
That is the third. The fourth trauma is similar. You are in goal against any National Hockey League, you know, player who's known as a big scorer, and you are in goal with pads, but nude, trying to stop his slap shots.
Okay, that is the fourth trauma, huh?
Yes.
I am going to have to let you go now.
Rudy's always great.
It is. And listen to the music of my country.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful? Listen, listen. That is Argentina's calling you. Argentina is calling you.
And I may just answer that phone.
Be well, my friend.
Thank you very much, Rudy.
Be well. I'm Rudy Canosa. Please, be with me. We are going to investigate the other traumas of the 12 traumas right after this.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yes. Welcome back. This is Rudy Canosa for Phil Hendry. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite songs.
I don't want to go to doce balanço, caminho do mar.
Oh, yeah.
Moça do corpo.
You see, this song is a girl from Ipanema. This is a song that when Rudy first heard this song, I knew that my life was never going to be the same. I knew that my life would be spent as I looked at the beautiful girls as they walk along the boardwalk there in La Cutula, which was my home village. You see, the village I come from in Argentina is Canulú de Jala. And we would often have young men like this sitting on a seawall. You know, the seawall as the ocean was splashing, and the birds, the seabirds were singing and waving away, and the beautiful girls would walk along the sidewalk, along the street, down the alley. A lot of them were in the alley, but not too many there were on the street, too. And you'd hear a guy like this singing, and you'd say, are you interested in girls? Nothing against him, but you'd say, you like girls, right? He'd say,
yes, I do.
Some kind of, Rudy is joking, but that's what he would sound like. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, baby. Yeah. See, she would come out from her mother's home, you know. Her mother would say, "Now, Astrid, I want you to come back up. Don't you dally with the boys down there." She'd say, "Oh, Mama." And then she'd sing this song for me. Yeah. And Rudy, I would be only an 18-year-old boy. I would sit there and go, "Go, baby, go." Yeah. Yeah, baby. I said, "Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Yeah. All the guys, you know." And then you'd realize, you know, that it was music coming from the loudspeaker on a bus. And, the fantasy would be gone, you know. Say, as she walks down the street, you see the boy. Some kind of music, huh? Well, at this hour, Rudy Canosa, and I have to tear myself away from Astrid Gilberto there, because she is everything for me. Everything for me. Astrid Gilberto, I wish I was old enough. When I was a boy, she was already a woman of 50, 60 years of age, you know, 70, I don't know. She must have been probably in an old folks' home by the time I was six. She was now nothing more than flesh hanging off of bone. But at one time, Astrid Gilberto was everything to me. And I think of Astrid Gilberto even to this day, and I automatically think,
ha la 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 la.
This is the Argentinian way. Don't ever be mistaken. This is the Argentinian way. And the woman, you should have respect. American men have no respect for women. No respect at all. I don't wish to speak ill of my good American friends. I have a great many friends who are American men, but I must say to you, with all respect to my American male friends, I said, you do have no respect for your women. You treat them like cattle. You treat them like pigs. You cannot, don't treat a woman like this. Otherwise, Rudy will swoop in. He will take her from you. As sure as the night follows the day, Rudy will follow your woman home and take her from you. This is how it is. This is what must be. If you treat your woman like she's nothing more than a cow, if you treat a woman like she's nothing more than an oinking, rooting pig in the mud, then of course the woman is going to go with Rudy. Now, this hour I'm going to be taking phone call from some of you men. And I also am going to be tell you with the 12th trauma, how do you keep yourself away from a beautiful young thing who happens to be 14? And you go through the 12th trauma, so you have a car back over your hand. You put yourself in freezing water for half a day. There's a couple of other ones. I think I've forgotten them. I must have Vernon Dogeron with me, but you put yourself in the freezing water for half a day. I know one it has to do with, you have to catch a Major League Baseball pitcher. You have to catch him nude. So, and make sure he's really burning in the heat. You know, let me see your fastball. That's what you say. You squat behind the plate with a catcher's mitt, but the rest of you stark raving nude. And you, come on, man, burn it in. You know, you have to. You must. This is the third trauma. And the fourth trauma is you sit in goal and you take a target practice in goal for the, you know, some hockey team, right? And the most effective scoring machine on the hockey team. You got to just field all these slap shots nude. That is the fourth trauma. See? Now, the fifth trauma is going down a slide nude. A lot of it has to do with nude, but you get the idea. Once you are able to put yourself through this, and then in fact, the 12th trauma has to do with anything that is heated to boiling and you sitting in it. All right? Now, you can well imagine, after going through all 12 of these, and the worst is the 12th trauma, boil, heat anything to boiling. It can be anything. And sit in it. Pour it into just a seat, just a chair, so it puddles, and then collapse into it. Don't you dare say a word. Otherwise, no go. You have to start all over again. This will keep you. This is the 12 traumas. I am Rudy Canoza, and a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take our phone calls now, and I'm going to Paul. Paul, hello. Hello, Paul.
Oh, hi, Rudy.
Yes, Paul.
Oh, hi, it's Paul.
How are you, sir? I know that you are a call. I saw your name on the phone screening.
Oh, I'm enjoying your program, and I'm sitting here with my wife, Suna, is her name.
Suna, and what their name is this?
She's a Korean girl. She's Korean. Met her in Korea.
You met her? It's a Korean girl. Very lovely.
Yeah, I met her. I was teaching school over there.
Well, very lovely. And what is the question for you that Rudy can answer?
Well, I've got a question. I first wanted to ask you about that 12 traumas. Now, you say that one of the traumas is to sit in anything that's been boiled.
Yes, that is the 12th trauma. The 12th trauma.
Oh, the 12th trauma.
Yes. And you boil just anything to boiling. Coffee, soup.
Yeah, well, I was going to say soup or stew.
Yes, a soup or stew or anything like this and sit in it.
Are you allowed to call out or?
No, you may not express any expression of pain.
Well, I don't know that I'll ever have any occasion for the 12 traumas because I know they are designed to deter or avert one from sex with an underage female, but I found them to be very interesting nonetheless. And we're having some problems in our marriage. I love her. She loves me. But we're having a problem in the bedroom. I don't know any other way to say it.
Well, what, my friend, would you say without the being graphic is the problem?
Well, it's difficult to say without being graphic, but I've had a weight problem, and Suna has a weight problem, and we occupy a a bed that is a regular mattress that sits on the floor. And the reason why we did that is it can't collapse any more than it has, so we took the frame out.
All right, so the bed was collapsing.
Now, the bed broke the frame, and I have no doubt it's because of our weight. I understand that. But what we did was we put the box spring on the Florida mattress.
Right.
And we decided that was the way. It was perfect. It couldn't collapse any further. And we got into bed last night, and the box spring actually collapsed, leaving just the mattress. And then the stuffing in the mattress literally shot out the sides of the mattress, so we're laying on the floor.
So I want to be clear. Your bed collapsed.
No, no.
No, but before last night, the bed collapsed.
Yes, the frame and then the box spring.
The box spring last night.
The box spring last night and the mattress last night.
Now, Rudy's having a hard time to understand about a mattress.
Oh, I didn't think it could happen either. So the weight is an issue, and I know that we need to lose the weight. But before we're able to lose the weight, we are literally destroying pieces of furniture and beds and everything like that. Is there anything that would deter, in your mind, anything that would not be right about it? Having sex on just cement, and that is, I mean, downstairs, outside.
Well, I don't know. You're going to be seen by neighbors?
Well, we don't know, but that seems to be the only place that we can lay down and lay down for any longer than a few seconds and not have something break underneath us. And the only cement that has the space is a cement walkway out in front of the front door, or maybe the garage.
I would say you're going to be comfortable there.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
But if the cement is not going to give...
Well, I don't know what else to do.
I would wait, my friend, to try to lose the weight. I know about weight problem. My friend, Mr. Henry, had a weight problem.
I know he lost 90 pounds.
Yeah, Phil had told me he lost 90 pounds. And I would wait, my friend. You have destroyed everything in your life, destroyed the furniture. You go outside, you crack the cement, you know.
Oh, that's right. That's what I'm afraid of.
You don't want to crack a cement or the cement pad or this kind of thing, you know.
All right, well, I still say we ought to give it a shot because... that's ridiculous. I'm not going to let furniture and even a cement slab keep me from knocking something off. You know what I mean?
I understand, my friend, but you can't be greedy. And you also have to recognize that your health is first and most optimum. And if you cannot make love to your wife in a healthy and in a comfortable way because of how fat you are, and you're cracking the cement and you're destroying furniture, you're destroying a beautiful home in the process. Perhaps you are putting too much weight on these weight-bearing beams. Weight-bearing beams, but they can too. They can also be compromised. And believe me when I tell you, you do not want the second story, the second floor of your home compromised by the weight. A weight-bearing beam compromised, you do not want a collapse there. It would be cataclysmic. I'll be right back. This is Rudy Canoza, filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show. What a beautiful evening. Listen to the music. This is the music of my homeland, Argentina.
Truth Canoza, is our Rudy. Bitch. The oh, Phil yeah. Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and you're listening here to Rudy Canoza, and I'm filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show. As a Phil, as people will call up to say, "Where is Phil?" I would say to them that Phil is, I told you, we started our program that the Phil is now taking care of a still that he owns. This is, what you say, America's La Moonshine, and Phil has it still is in the backyard of his home. Ah. Yeah. I know a lot of you ladies, you listen to Rudy as I do the Argentinian greeting, but you see, it's not disrespect at all. It's not even lascivious. It's nothing that is sexually based. This is a greeting from the heart, from Argentina to you, to the ladies tonight, as you say. The slower, the more romantic and sensual. The faster, the more immediate. The more mid-range. There's different. It's almost like African click. There's different. I can't explain it. That's a standard greeting. Then when you say, it's a little bit more romantic. There's not a woman in Argentina that does not know what this means. All right. Every man should learn to play the saxophone. Every man. This is one of the great regrets of my life, that I did not learn to play the saxophone and the electric piano. All right, so you have to go. That's a standard greeting, but then when you have the sensuality, if Astrid Gilberto were to walk up to me, and I loved her so much when I was a boy, I would say to her, a lot of people, and I was deeply offended by an article that I saw in an American paper who said that this Argentinian greeting sounded like Sid the Man. They thought he was being funny. He says it sounds like Martian, you know. He thought it was a War of the World of Martian talk, you know. And I wrote a letter to this pig. I said, you pig, do you understand? This is Astrid Gilberto, the love that I had for her. I walked to her to say, baby. And this pig wrote me a letter back. I'm almost crying thinking of it. He wrote me a letter back. He said, you sound like you come from Venus. I don't know. Maybe American men are just not with it, you know. I don't think American men really get it. All right, my friends. I'm going to the phone call now, and I have here a Carmelo. Carmela. Let me see. Is it Carmela? How are you, sir?
How are you, sir? What are you saying? Is this thing, Rudy?
How are you, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm all good. And thank you to come to America. And I welcome you. Come on, I welcome you to America.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And where are you from original?
I am original from Mexico. But America is my home now. I love America, you know.
I love America. It's a great country.
Yes. Now, Rudy, you speak of a woman.
I am speaking of the woman, yes, my friend.
Right. And in my life, I had a lot of women.
Yes, I believe it, my friend.
Yes, a lot of women. And you can talk a woman like a la-la-la. Huh?
Yes, my friend, it's Argentina, you know.
Ah. Now, my woman is, I love her. She was an Argentina man one time when he come to the house, you know, to fix the plumbing, you know?
Yes.
And he said to my woman, blah, 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 whatever this thing. And I did not see her again for 6 months.
Did she go off with this Argentina man?
She ran off. She ran off with the Argentina man. But is the best thing that ever happened to Carmelo, because I found my wife today.
And that is a blessing, my friend.
It's a blessing. My wife today is a wonderful woman. I love her. Never would I, you know, stray away from her.
Well, my friend, all as Americans say, you know, do you hear this American say, all's well that ends well.
Yes, 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 all's well that ends well, America. Do that. Do it again. Were you a plumber at one time?
All right. That's a crank call. No, I did not run off with your wife, sir. I did not run off with you. My friend, as much as I love and respect you, and I thank you for calling the Rudy Conoza tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, I would not run off with your cow. I think my audience right now, the people call Rudy, of course we believe you, Rudy. You're not going to run off with some man. This guy sounds like he's married to, and I say this with respect and great love in my heart, of course, because I love all women, but I'm not about to leave the country or leave the city limits for that matter. Not even going to go off at that man's block with a cow, something that rather than to get into Rudy's je t'aime lingerie, I would put a bell around her neck instead. You know, they went ding, 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 like that. Is my friend back? My friend is called back. All right, my friend.
Hey, Rudy.
My friend, now you watch the language, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say you run off with my wife. I'm sorry. I just asked if you had been a plumber one time.
I have never been a plumber, my friend.
All right, so you didn't take my wife, but I'm glad that if you did, I wouldn't care at all, Rudy. You know?
I know, because you found the woman of your life.
I'm the woman of my life. Now, another thing. My woman that I have now, she wears a bell around her neck, and I love it. I love it. See, you can say she's a cow, but my wife will get up in the morning and she says this, all us cows do our best for Jersey, mate. You hear that?
My friend, you disrespect your wife.
No, I never. She said it. I did not say it.
Why do you put a bell around her neck?
She put the bell around her neck. She did. My wife drink a tequila one night. And I said to her, you might really come to bed, darling. She said, no, I'm not going to. She put a bell around her neck. She goes, all us cows do our best for Jersey, mate. And I said, what did you think? She said, I'm going to call up Howard Stern tomorrow. Get on the Howard Stern show.
She's going to be on a Howard Stern show and be a cow?
To be a cow. But I told her,
All right, we've run out of time, my friend. This is Rudy Canosa. Why don't we stop this talk of putting a bell around your wife's neck? All us cows do our best for Jersey made us. Here's the music of my country, the music of the highlands, the music of the mountains. I'm going to tell you a story of the Colombian people and the Peruvian people as well, the Indian, the native people of Peru and Colombia, and the border, the Derby, the Peruvian Derby, the Derby.
Hey, Rudy!
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Isn't that lovely? And that, again, my very, very... it's not my favorite music. I will tell you what my favorite music is. You are not going to believe. This is Rudy Canosa, and I am here for my good friend Phil Henry, as I am filling in for him. And tonight, of course, we are speaking to you of many things, of a romance, of a man, a woman, a family, love. Love. There is nothing better than love. There's nothing more important than love. To love. To love is to live, and to live is to love. But you must love to live, and you must live to love. That is the grand equation of life, isn't it? But that music you hear, that comes from the foothills of my country, Argentina, which I miss so very, very much, and I'm going to go home to Buenos Aires. Today is the date of... I know by April, middle of April, I'm going to be home. And I'm traveling here in America. I am so... filled with joy, because if I must leave my country, there's only one country for me. There's only one country to go to, that is America. If I have to leave Argentina, I must go to America. Otherwise, I don't feel I'm at home. I feel at home when I hear. If I go someplace else, I don't feel at home, you know. Now, I wanted to tell you this story, and this is a story. I want to ask my friend Jesse if he would play underneath me the beautiful Argentina music for me. So I'm going to tell my friends this story, Jesse. Yes. You see, in South America, the Peruvian people who live in the hills. You've seen the Peruvian people in the hills, and they play the pan flute, and they wear the shawls, and they wear on their heads what you probably recognize as a round derby hat. How did the Peruvian tribes people, the Colombian tribes people, the very people that Paul Simon, he wrote that song, I'd rather be a snail than they fly. Yes, I would. You know you could. I'd rather be your mama than your boo-boo-boo-boo, like that. Well, you see, my friends, there was a ship, a great ship, that was traveling from the great city of New York City and was going to go around the Horn of South America and come up the other side of South America and on its way to San Francisco and then to Hong Kong, where it was due to deliver a large quantity of derby hats. The people of Hong Kong, for some reason, there's no real explaining it, but the derbies were manufactured in New York and were destined a big order for Hong Kong. And suddenly a storm came up along the coast of South America, and the ship was swamped, and the ship broke apart on the rocks, and all of the derby hats flew out of their crates and onto the beaches, and the derby hats landed onto the rocks. That's fine, Jesse, thank you. No more music, thank you. Now we let the music die down. Thank you very much, Jesse, because I want people to hear this story. As this great ship from New York is destined for a San Francisco to drop off some passengers, but the large quantity of derby hats delivered to a men's shop in Hong Kong, and as it was going along the coast of South America, it broke apart on the rocks. Broke apart on the rocks, and the derby hats flew from the crates. It flew out of the galleys and out the below, you know, what they call the below part of the ship, and it flew out in the storm, and the derby hats flew out and onto the beaches and onto the rocks. And out in the jungles. And the derby hats landed in all of these different places. And the Indian people came from the hills to say, what is this? What are these hats? These ridiculous derby hats. They look a lot like the hat that we saw when the Peace Corps here 2 weeks ago Tuesday. And they showed a Laurel and Hardy movie to us on a sheet that they hung from the jungle. I saw the men. I said, these are the hats they wore. Si, senor. This is the hat that they wore. And they put on the derby hat. And today, when you travel to Peru, and you see the native people as they play the pan flute and they sell their wares in the marketplaces there, you see the hat, the derby, the round hat, the Oliver Hardy hat. And that hat that Peruvian is wearing was supposed to be on the head of a Chinaman. This is Rudy Canosa. And this is Life Can Be Good. Isn't that an interesting story? Mm-mm-mm. All right, my friends, let's go to another phone call, shall we? Margaret Gray is on my line of two, and I don't know, where's my line of two? Line two, or Margaret Gray here is going to join me here on the Rudy Canosa Show. Margaret, I hear you on the Phil Show. How are you this evening, my friend?
Oh, Rudy, I'm doing wonderful, and first of all, thank you for giving Phil the night off, because he really needed it, and he's very grateful. Phil is a man who's under a great deal of pressure. He is, in point of fact, under so much pressure and is so on edge that I really think he took a terrible step yesterday and ended a friendship with someone who was very, very important to him, and he did so in an angry way. He did so in an accusatory way.
Whoa, my friend. Whoa.
No, but I want to tell you the story.
No, Margaret. We're speaking of a man who's not here, you know. We're speaking of a man who's not here. He's going to defend himself.
Well, I think that Phil would agree with everything I'm saying. I think he would.
But I don't think it's fair for us to say, Phil, you know, you did this, you did that, you did this. And he is not here to defend himself.
There's nothing he can say to defend himself, Rudy. He took a horrible step. He made a terrible mistake. And now he has to live in it, son. As that guard said to Jake LaMotta in the film Raging Bull, live in it, son. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Rudy. Live in it. To that end...
Margaret, you can't just tell a man that you made a horrible mistake. You did this, you did that, and you speak on the radio to the people listening, and he's not here to defend himself.
Well, I just did it, and I have to do it because someone has to say it. And I'm reminded of that song that I think says it all about Phil's quandary. It is a song. It's a beautiful Spanish song. Okay? And
it's a song in my home language, then.
Yes. It is a song not from Argentina. It's from Cuba. Cuba, yes.
Cuba, yeah. And what is this song?
You know the song, and I'll just do a little 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 1, Guantanamera. Cohiba, Guantanamera.
Now, hold on for a moment.
What?
You said the Cohiba?
Yeah, well, Cohiba. They say Guantanamera, Cohiba. That's a cigar.
is a cigar, okay?
Yeah, and Guantanamera is the Marine Corps base. So they're talking about, you remember Jack Nicholson in Few Men or something? It was Few
Good Men, as Jack Nicholson.
Yes, a Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson had a cigar. Where was he? Guantanamera. And so he was smoking a cohiba at Guantanamera, and that's the connection that I made there.
So this song is about the Marine smoking. A Marine smoking a cigar. I'm sorry, there must be some cigar smoke. This song is of a Marine smoking a cigar.
It's a beautiful song about a Marine smoking a cigar. And it goes like this. Guantanamera, woo-hoo, Cohiba, Guantanamera, woo-hoo, Guantanamera, Cohiba, Guantanamera. And then, Rudy, what it does, it goes into a recitation. My poems are like the palm trees and the white people. I don't really know what the words are. I think you can probably make it up.
Well, it's a very lovely poem, but the song is based upon a poem, you know.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes, the song is based upon a poem, and the song is a poem. In fact, it's a poem. It's not a song. It's a poem.
It's a poem with music.
It has music, yes. But I don't think...
But it's Guantanamo. And then he said, my poems are like the suds of a car wash. My poems... And blah, 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 blah. And it's just so lovely. And I just wanted to sing that for you.
Well, Margaret, you know every time you sing. And let me do that. I know you're married, but let me give you the Rudy send-off for you, Margaret.
Oh, please, hit me with it. Oh, my God. Did you hear me, Frank?
Yeah, I heard you.
Frank's here. You want to talk to Frank?
Yes, let me speak to my friend Frank.
Hey, Rudy.
Frank, my friend, my good, good friend, how have you been?
Rudy, I'm better than Custer. How have you been?
Oh, Frank, I'm in love with life. I am so happy to be here in America, and I just sang it to your lovely lady. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. She woke up, and I got to put her back to bed.
Who's that?
My son.
All right, let me just tell you this, Frank. I'm not making love to your wife. I hope you know that.
It doesn't matter. I made up my mind a long time ago that you're going to get it. When I see in person, you'll be getting it, okay? I've got it. You'll get it. I don't care if you did it. You're getting it.
Frank, you must understand, it was not me that night. It was not me. Rudy does not lie. I would be very, very, very proud to say, yes, it was me. As I climbed down the lattice works, yes, it was me. But it was not me climbing down the lattice works.
I'm just going to tell you something. She saw something coming down that ivy. And my son doesn't lie to me.
All right, I understand. But I was not at your home climbing down the ivy on the lattice works from the bedroom.
I don't care if it wasn't you. You're going to get it. And you know I made this promise to you 5 years ago. That when I saw you, that would be the end.
That's why I have to stay clear of you.
Hey, there you go. Bingo. Bingo. Give the man a cohiba. That's right. Because you see, I want to tell you something, Rudy. You're a good guy, but I'm mentally unsound. I'm mentally unsound. You know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So if I see you anywhere in the flesh, I'm going to blow your head off. You know that too, right?
I understand that, Frank, yes.
Okay. And even if you didn't have sex with my wife, even if he didn't let you into his bed, I'm still going to blow your head off.
I understand. This is irrational of you. Irrational.
Oh, it might be irrational. I'm sure that it is irrational. I mean, I'm an irrational man. There's no question I'm an irrational man. But I love him. I love him dearly as my wife. And Margaret means everything to me. And for you to even go near him is death.
All right, then I can only say this to you, my friend.
Yeah, what?
I will stay clear of you as much as I can.
Well, what are you, I don't understand, what are you doing in L.A.?
I'm filling in on a Phil Henry show.
You're filling in on the what?
The Phil Henry radio show.
So in other words, to fill in on a radio show, you risk death? Is that what you're doing?
I'm doing a friend a favor.
Yeah, you're nervous, aren't you?
A little bit, yes.
Well, I'm just telling you, Canoza, you're a good guy. But if I see you with him, and you're in bed with him, I'll kill you, and I'll kill him after, and then I'll commit suicide. And that will leave my son. She'll have to carry on.
Listen to me, Frank. Don't get tough with me. Frankie's hung up. Frank is angry with me. He's angry with Rudy. Just because one day when I saw his wife in the hallways of the radio station, I said to her, I said, Margaret, and of course any woman will fall for that. And she was very, she was swooning and feeling all a flutter. And Frank, the lunatic that he is, it now thinks that I may love to her. And he calls her a him and him a her. And I can only imagine what he speaks of me when we're not around. In a moment, I come back and I speak with you a little bit more about my life and about what I've got to go home to in Argentina. It ain't pretty. Rudy Canosa in for Phil Hendry this evening.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You understand me, Canosa?
I understand you, yes.
As long as we understand each other.
World-famous Phil Hendry
yes.
Show.
Listen to this, huh? This is the music of the Peruvian hill people. Listen to this. Yeah. Aha. Hey, hey. You do this wild dance around the gypsy caravan, huh? South America is a magical place. Even from my home country of Argentina, I can travel to the north, to the east, to the west, and see the magical people of the Peruvian hillsides and the Colombian hills. Listen to this. Yeah. Ha. Ha. You know, when you dance to this, you dance as if you're herding cattle. Yeah, yeah. And you dance with your woman. And when you dance with your woman, this is no disrespect, but you must dance with her as if you are herding cattle. Just, yeah, yeah. You know, you spank her on the butt. All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Jesse. That was great. Here is a music. This is Brazil. Now, I'm not as much a fan of Brazil music because Brazilians, I love Brazilian, but they're really pigs, you know. Argentina, the Brazilians are pigs. I love them, and I love their contribution to the world, but they are nothing more than pigs. Ah, yes, ah, ha, ha. La, ha, ha, ha. See, that's what you do, you know. If you come from my country and you hear music like this, you must sit with a bottle of something and just go, ha, ha, ha. And you scare the tourists, you know, you scare the Americans, they come in. Hey, hey, hey. Now listen to this part here. This is where she... Huh? Huh? Yeah. Aha. Ha. And you spank your woman on her rump, you know, and you say, ha, yeah. Get them up, little doggies, yeah. Ha, 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 ha. So, listen to this song. I want to start the song again, please. Because tonight what Rudy is telling you is music is everything to me. Music is everything to me. And this is a song from Brazil. Now, Brazil is a mysterious country. It is a beautiful country, and it's so rich, so much in Brazil. And yet the people are pig-like. They are sow-like. I don't understand. There is a beauty, there is a magnificence to the Brazilian that is at once repellent and yet attracts, that is at once degenerate and foul in stench, and yet is like a flower. You see what I mean? Huh? You know? Okay. Now look. Now wait a minute. Oh, gosh. My jaw is locked up. Hold on for a minute. I apologize to everyone. Occasionally, when I do dancing, my jaw... Ah, okay. I danced a little bit too much last night. My jaw got locked up. All right, let's listen now, and let's listen to the words of this great song from this beautiful young lady. Her name is Luisa Mata. Ah, yes. Luisa Mata, Brazil. Let's listen as she sings. She's going to sing of a man who's landed in an airplane on an airstrip. The man came. He landed in the airstrip. He came out of the airplane. And he had a map in his hand. And he had some kind of equipment. And he looked through... He looked through the equipment and said, this is the place where I will build the airstrip. And the next thing you know, yeah, there's Rio de Janeiro International Airport, but I can't get home. That's the name there, right? See? So she sings that she lived in the jungle and she was living on nothing but what a pig would live on, you know. She lived in the jungle. Her parents had abandoned her in the jungle. And she lived on nothing more than what a pig would live on. And she walked around in clothing she had to fashion for herself from the palm fronds and from the grass. Can you imagine this? And she was lonesome, and she sees a man come from the aircraft, and he says, I'm going to build Rio de Janeiro International Airport, and that is what he did. And there she sat. She sat squatting in the grass each day as she watched the men, and they came to build this airport, and she squatted, and she gnawed on a pig bone, and she drank the milk of a coconut, and she gnawed on the seagrass as she watched this great airport being built, and then finally the airport is built. All of the modern air traffic, all of the modern people, and there she sits, still wearing this skirt that she fashioned out of a tarp she found from Air Korea. And you see what I'm saying? And so the song is called, I saw them build Rio de Janeiro International Airport, and yet I still can't get home. Yeah? Okay. I am Rudy Canoza. It's so wonderful to be with you this evening. I'm going to another phone call here this evening. And let me see, we have Harvey Wireman is an attorney at law. I wish to speak with Harvey because he's a wise man. He's a good man. And Mr. Wireman, good evening, sir.
Hey, Rudy, let me just tell you something. I saw that movie tonight that you were talking about.
It's Diary of a Nudist.
Diary of a Nudist, yes. And I wanted to tell you that I'm going to be, along with Hal Jeffries, Bob Keegan, and Stan Anana.
What's this man's name?
Stan Anana. Are you there?
Yes, I'm trying to write Stan Anana.
Stan Anana, yeah. Why the questions?
Because I have to say, it reminds me of a name of Bananarama or something, you know?
No, it's Stan Anana.
Stan Anana.
Yes, his family settled the city of Santa Ana. Do you know the city of Santa Ana?
I do. It's near Los Angeles, right?
Yes, it's right south of L.A. And so his family was one of the founding families of Santa Ana. His name's Stan Anana.
He's not related to Bananarama, is he?
No, he's not. That's a good joke, though.
Yes, okay. Rudy, I'm so happy to speak with you tonight, Harvey.
Now, let me ask you something. Why do you say Rudy? Why do you do that?
Because of South American. You know, everything is one word, one syllable. We are known by one name, and we are known as third person, Pele, Ula, you know.
Or is the what do you call them, the soccer players?
Yes, the soccer players are all one name in Brazil and in my country, Argentina. We have Ula, we have Pele.
I've heard of Pele, yeah.
Yeah, we had Pele. We had the great Stankula. We had Maga.
I don't know who these guys are. Well, you might as well be talking about fish, you know, not men.
No, these are great soccer players, great football players.
Okay.
And we had, we had the Guiz, we had Bahaha, we had Lipizor, which was actually the name of a heart medicine.
I know the heart medicine. I know there was a soccer player by that name.
Phil Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico this evening is Rudy Canoza. But let's not make no mistake that this is a program that is 100% as it belongs to Phil Hendry. He's the creator of this wonderful show, and we are very grateful to be here to fill in for Phil on this very a wonderful Friday night. You know, Friday night, and this now is a Saturday morning. Of course, it's been Saturday morning for some time for our friends in the eastern part of the United States. Do you know I love to travel to the east? I am on the west now, but I love to go to the east. And I live all along the east. I live at the east coast of South America. And so everything in my life is east. And this is sometimes I come to the west, you know. As the man said, the American poet, the European, I don't know, he says, East is West. East is West, and West is West. I forget now, it's East of. It says, Easty, Westy, Westy, Westy. What is this poem? I'm trying to remember now. I know it's a poem called Easty, Weasty, Westy, Woosty, but I don't know. But nonetheless, forgive me, I don't know the poem where it says East goes West, West, Diane. Is it Diane West? The actress who I love very much. I saw her in the movie Woody Allen, the Woody Allen story. It was Diane West. She's a marvelous actress, and Mina Farrow. Was that the song? I don't know. Forgive me. Herb, let's put the Herb on the radio. Herb, welcome, Rudy Canoza.
Hello, Rudy. This is Herb Sewell. How are you?
I'm a good Herb. How are you?
I'm very good. The poem I wanted to help you with, because I heard you trying to find a poem, correct?
Yes, my friend. I'm trying to find the title of the poem.
The poem is East is East, and West is West, and never the twain shall meet.
East is West.
No. East is East.
East is East. I see. Yes.
Right. East is East, and West is West.
East is East, and West is West.
Yes, and never the twain shall meet.
And never the train? You're trying to say the word train.
No, I'm not trying to say the word train. I'm trying to say the word twain. As in Mark Twain, as the writer Mark Twain.
Was he the one who wrote this poem?
No, he did not. I believe it was Rudyard Kipling. But I could be wrong.
Rudyard Kipling, I know of this man. This is a great man, Rudyard Kipling.
Yes, he's one of the great writers in the English tradition, of course. He didn't write Guantanamera and Cohiba, or whatever that thing that Margaret was saying. You know, but...
I know Margaret was not... this was not right, was it?
No, I don't think it was right at all. I think she had that completely wrong. But nonetheless, Rudyard Kipling, I think. But it goes East is East, West is West.
All right, now hold on for... Can you, Herb? Herb, can you hold on?
I can hold on, but I'm trying to tell you the name of the poem.
I understand, my friend. I want to. But my friend Carmelo's called back, and he wants to speak to you.
All right. I don't know who this is.
All right. Let me get Carmelo.
Hey! Herb Sewell!
Yes, this is Herb Sewell.
Oh, my friend, it's Carmelo. I called a Rudy Canoza program.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I just want to say hello to you because I think you're a good, interesting man. You were. And I want to say to Rudy, did you know, Rudy, that Herb Sewell was in a nut house? In a nut house.
Oh, it's, I don't know. Is that right to say?
No, it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. I was in a nut house.
Yes! My friend Herb, if you don't mind me call you my friend,
I don't mind at all, Carmelo. It's perfectly fine.
This man was in a nut bin.
You were in the nut house, huh?
Yes, I was. I was in a Tascadero.
And what were you there for, my friend?
I was there for child molestation.
You see? What'd I tell you?
Oh, no. That's not true.
Yes, it is true. I was there for child molestation, sexual assault, armed assault, mayhem, a variety of things. So you see, you know, I was there for a lot of things, but quite ugly things.
No, my friend, that's wrong. It's, you can't be serious.
Are you serious? I had Herb Sewell was on his shows all the time with Phil Hendry.
I do consult with Phil Hendry on a number of different topics on his program.
But what are you saying to me, that you committed these crimes and now you are free? Hold on, Carmelo, hold on. Is that the truth?
Yes, it is. I'm in a halfway house. I'm on parole. It's not been easy, I can tell you that. It's not been easy at all.
Yes, he did this, man. Herb Sewell was on a Phil Hendry show. And every time he comes on, he's talking all kinds of crap.
I don't talk crap at all. I'm talking truth.
Yes, you talk about it. You're weird, man. You're weird.
I don't think I'm any weirder than you. You're calling up Three Sheets to the Wind.
Well, but my friend Carmelo is drunk, you know. But Carmelo, let me say this: we can't say to Rudy or to Herb, we can't say that he has no right to live.
I didn't say no right to live. But if I hear Herb Sewell to call up, I'm going to call up the show myself and talk some smack. You see?
I think. he's saying is he wants to just keep me in my place.
Yes, indeed, my friend.
Well, let's keep this friendly, you know. Let's keep it friendly.
Well, before I hang up, I wanted to ask you, does that really work when you go, or whatever that is?
Yes, it works with the right woman. You know, you have to be skilled, you know, with this. But I don't know what to say to a man like you who has committed these kinds of crimes. This is something that Rudy cannot relate to. Rudy cannot relate to it.
Rudy, I just called up to tell you the name of Rudyard Kipling, all right? So you don't have to go all... don't go all heavy and dramatic on me, okay?
Don't go all dramatic. I love that. Yeah, let me tell you something, Herbsul. It's a difficult thing not to go dramatic when a man hears the things you have done. When I listen to the things you have done, some of it made me sick to my stomach.
I understand. I understand totally.
Yes, it would make a man sick.
It made me sick, Herbsul, to listen to the things you've done. It made me want to throw up. You see,
well, maybe you want to go and get over to the toilet now then, huh?
I'm going to go to the toilet. I'm going to go to the toilet. I think I'm going to take a herb. And let me tell you what...
Oh, this excuse me, but I cannot abide this no longer. No, Rudy Canosa is not about this kind of rancor and this kind of discourse, this strident and rancorous and arguing. You know, I don't like this. I am about love. I think a man like that man needs a prayer. He needs prayer and he needs some magic. He needs perhaps Rudy in his own way can say to a Herbsul even, that is a general blessing, if you will, upon the people of this world, that peace and healing descend on the human race. It's got nothing to do with sex. The sexual greeting of a woman would be, that would be sexual. Another one is that. But if you are speaking of peace on earth and goodwill toward man and the healing of the human race, then you would say, like that. You see, there are two more that I want to educate you on, but I have to take a phone call. This is who? Mr. Hall is the program director or the vice president of syndication. Mr. Hall, it's good to speak with you this evening. What can I do for you? Rudy Canosa here filling in.
Rudy, I understand you're filling in for Phil. I got to ask you to stop doing something, and I hope you understand.
You want me to stop doing something?
Yeah. You're on the air, and you're going, and it sounds almost like you're mocking the mentally ill. I had a couple of calls from people. They are disturbed.
Oh, no. Rudy's not doing that.
I know that you're not doing that, but I listened, and I turned the radio on. I was with my girlfriend, and we were driving into town. And all I'm hearing coming out of the radio is, it sounds like a microphone was dropped into a ward where there are people who are not all there. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. Do you understand what I'm doing?
Well, what I hear you say you're doing is you're demonstrating how you attract women in Argentina. Is that right?
Yes, my friend. Women, and also I just said a blessing.
Yeah, the blessing of... And the blessing sounded really bad.
What do you mean?
Well, here's what it sounded like. My girlfriend here is... Hey, yeah, Tabitha, do it for me, will you? That was a woman. That was a woman that just did that.
Well, my condolences, you know.
No, whoa, hold on, sunshine.
No, if you say a woman just did that...
I'm saying that she was doing what you just did.
I will tell you this. Everything I'm doing in the program tonight is about love, is about healing, okay?
Yeah, but what's coming out of the radio... Do it again, Tabitha. That's what's coming out of my radio. So it may be about healing, it may be about love, it may be about a lot of things, sunshine, sweetness, and light. But what's coming out of the radio is something out of a madhouse, okay? Now, that's... I'm just telling you. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are on the air.
Oh, gee.
Okay, I tell you what we are going to do is we're going to go to a commercial and then we're going to come back and I'm going to clarify what I mean by and also because another man called earlier, he said you played Art Bell music and then you started to speak in a tongue that might be of another world, another civilization. I said, you must be kidding. He was not kidding. He was not kidding. I will be back. Rudy will be back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
This is lovely music, isn't it? Again, the beautiful guitar. And this is Rudy Canosa, and I welcome you very much. And I appreciate very much for you to be with me tonight. I wish all of you could be here with me in the radio tonight to understand what I'm saying. And to go, you know, la 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 la. And people think I'm a moron, you know. No. Like what I'm trying to say, you see.
Ga-la-la-la-la-la.
That's what I mean, you know. So let me take a phone call now. Blue Cat joining us to talk about a radio program, The Blue Cat Hour, coming up on Sunday night. There's a new nationally syndicated radio show. It's a blues show. Blue Cat, my friend, welcome.
I'm very, very happy to speak with you tonight, Rudy. How are you?
I'm very good, and I look forward to turning on, listening to your playing the blues, huh?
I'm telling you, we are very excited about the Blue Cat Hour. It'll be coming up 7 o'clock, and I want everybody out there listening to the Blue Cat Hour because we're going to be playing some of the greatest blues that has ever been recorded and kicking it off with the Junior Wells Hour, and I hope... everybody out there that enjoys Junior Wells' music, I'm going to tell you this right now. Junior Wells was one of the greats in blues and continues to be one of the most influential blues men. But one of the reasons I also want to talk to you tonight, Rudy, is because that last thing you said, I was worried because you are not making any sense.
Why? What the?
You went, I don't want to keep hitting this same note over and over again because you understand, as far as I'm concerned, I love everybody. I'm like you. I love everybody.
Yes, my friend. Oh, bleep, 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 bleep. Giggle.
What the hell? What happened? Are you having a stroke?
Why?
Because just there, you went, doo, doo, doo. It sounds to me like you're having a stroke, son. If you're having a stroke, you need to get off the air. You need to get off the air.
No. See, what that...
No, hold on. I want to interrupt you now. This Blue Cat talking to you now. Listen, what I just heard you do there, you would... It sounds to me like you're having you've either got Bell's palsy, or you're having a stroke, or there's something that has been lost in terms of feeling in one part of your face. And I think that's why you're getting a lot of the calls you're getting tonight. You're getting a lot of calls from people who are saying, "What's wrong with Rudy Canosa?" And he sounds like he needs a. It sounds to me like you need to have your left arm held up. Do you have control over that part of your body?
Yes, my friend. You see, when I go la la.
God Almighty! What is that? What is that?
No. What that did? I'm.
See, just spit it out, man. Because what's happening is you go la 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 la. You're scaring everybody. You're scaring me half to death. It sounds like you need to have someone giving you physical therapy on your left arm. I don't know why the left arm is coming into my mind, but it sounds like you need to have someone moving that arm back and forth. That's what it sounds like to me. And then it sounds to me like there might even be a need for someone to dab spit from your chin. Am I right about that?
No, you're not right
Not right there. See? Right there.
But do you have to let me... finish what I say, what I was to talk about.
No, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. You're going, I'm telling you, Rudy, if you listen to an air check, you know what an air check is?
I do, yes.
All right, listen to an air check of the show tonight, and in this last half hour, there are very few English language words that you used. Most of everything else you said was, and I don't want to make a monkey joke, I'm not making no ape joke. I'm saying that's what it sounds like. That's what you did. You went like that. Now,
let's not be insulting.
No, I'm not being insulting. I'm speaking the truth. The people are going to call up and back me up on this. Now, look, Before we get any further into all of this nonsense, I want to do a promo for my show, because that's what this is all about, and it's about the Blue Cat Hour. It's coming up at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, nationally syndicated, and you can listen to it on Phil TV as well. And this is just a taste of what we're going to be doing. You know, you like the blues? Never mind. I'm sorry I asked. Listen to this. Yeah, all right. That is Junior Wells, so I want everybody to check it out, the Blue Cat Hour, at 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
But you see, listening to this man, he's going...
No, he's not. Are you nuts? This guy speaks. This guy is Rex Harrison and My Fair Lady compared to what you're laying down tonight.
Head of a bitch.
Woo!
Looking for the woman they call Lucille.
She all right. Blue Cat, thank you.
All right.
On the Blue Cat Hour, you know... I realize that, Rudy, I speak in a different language, not just the Spanish, you know, that's my accent, but I speak a language of love. And do you know something? Sometimes we can communicate with each other even if we're just making noises. What does a man and a woman, again, now please understand, I'm trying to be the tasteful, but a man and a woman when they make love, what do you hear? Ah, ah, ah. Is Rudy right? Yes, you know Rudy's right. When a man and a woman make love, what are you listening to? For the outside observer, for someone who is walking by, he must think he's listening to a couple of monkeys in a tree. But to those two people, is love. To the outside observer, if he walks by, he thinks he's listening to a couple of apes. Two chimpanzees swinging from a vine. But to those two people, love. L-U-V-E. E, not L-U-V-E, L-O-V, L-O, L-V-E, love, not love, L-V-O, Luvo, no, well, love is what I'm trying to say, love, L, you fill in however you want to spell it. Some people spell it L-U-V. When I first came to America and I saw the coffee shop, it was called Love's Coffee Shop. Do you remember it? No, of course you do not, because you are too young. But Love's Coffee Shop. And I used to say, well, that's how it's spelled. Then I remembered that dumb Joe Buck in Midnight Cowboy. He thought money was spelled M-O-N-Y because of Mutual of New York building. And that moron thought it was M-O-N-Y. And I think, Rudy, are you any better than Joe Buck? No, of course you're not. You're an idiot, too. He spelled money M-O-N-Y, I spelled L-U-V, but guess what? We both wound up with what we wanted, love and money. This is Rudy Canoza. I'm with you for another half hour, and I'm going to be taking your phone calls for this next half hour. And we're going to be talking about some of the things in the news that I was not speaking of. We already mentioned the man from the New England Patriot football team, his wife, was called a hog and a pig by this other man. And I think that we need to educate some men. You never call another man's wife a pig. And we are going to talk about that. Find out how long this man, this Ted Johnson, how long do you think he will stay alive if you talk to a woman and you say to a man his wife looks like a hog? I would never say that to a man. Even if the woman looked to me like she belonged in the county fair, I would never say that to her. And that's what this dumb, poor, and... forgive me for saying, stupid, crap-heeled redneck. That's what he said. Bothers me. Bothers me a lot. I'm Rudy Canoza. I'll be right back. Indeed, my friends, and welcome here to the Rudy Canoza filling in for Phil Henry program. And you know, I was trying to find a lovely, lovely, lovely song by Esther Gilberto here a moment ago, because I had told you how much in love with hair music I was as a young man. I could not find it now, and I'm going to have my intern here. La música de mí. Yes, I brought in some assistance, or people going to help me tonight to find the music I'm trying to find. But in any event, we're going to continue taking phone calls here for Phil Hendry. I do appreciate you very much joining this program tonight. In the 2 weeks, I return to Argentina. My people will say, familia, who is my family? Well, my mother and father is still alive, and I have my sister there, and I have, of course, my beautiful one. She is the one to whom I will not utter the name, because she has a name, and but I won't utter a name to her. And the name I will not utter to her is her own name. That is how special our love is, and it's how special I feel for her. In fact, when I speak about her, I am out of breath. It's almost as if I've had to run a mile when I speak of her. She just takes the wind right out of me. And you can hear me. You can hear me now as I'm thinking of her and talking of her. I can barely breathe, you know. That is how she makes me feel, and that is how I wish to remember her. She is my... Well, again, I can't say the name. Only because if I say it, she might be listening, and I don't want to say her name back to her. Let's take a phone call now, shall we, my friends? And go to Gloria in the city of Culver City this evening here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is Rudy Canosa to fill in. Hello, Gloria.
Oh, hello, Rudy, and I am very, very glad to speak to you. You sound so wonderful.
Thank you very much, Gloria.
Rudy, my son has called the Phil Hendry Show quite a bit, and I suspect that my son is in the closet. Hold on, Larry.
Uh-huh.
Hold on, Larry. I wanted to speak to the gentleman on the phone. I'll put my son on in a moment, but I suspect he's in the closet, deeply in the closet, what Phil has referred to as a hat box.
Ah, yes. Hat box, yes.
Uh-huh.
Mother, this is not fair.
All right, go ahead. Take the phone then, Larry. If you want to be a sissy, have a sissy fit.
I'm not having a sissy fit, Mother. Hello?
Yes, sir, my friend. This is Rudy Canosa.
Yeah, this is Larry Grover. Mr. Canosa, how are you?
I'm very good, Mr. Grover, and I spoke, I assume, to your mother.
Yes, that's my mother, Gloria. And I heard her refer to me as a hatbox, which I get, I don't know the terminology. Let me just tell you, right?
The hatbox is a man who's so deep in the closet that he would kill anyone. In other words, it's a dangerous place to be. You'd never want to be in a hat, but if you find yourself in a hatbox or in a gun case...
In a gun case, so you're in the closet, but you're even deeper in.
You are deep in, yes. And I am not saying that you are. I don't know you, but this was with your mother.
Well, let me just say something, Mr. Canosa. I've been listening to you this evening, and I've heard you on other nights on Mr. Henry's program. I guess every man's entitled to his way of being and his way of expressing, but I find your entire expressions and tongue wagging out of the mouth and...
This is what I mean, Larry.
Mother, do you mind? You've already, for the entire country, said that I'm deep in the closet. Do you mind?
But I'm saying that he's sexy.
Oh, God, would you get off the extension? God, would you get off the extension?
One thing, Mr. Canosa?
Yes, dear.
We enjoy you very much. Even Larry, Larry doesn't like you, but he likes the...
And so, Mr. Canosa, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I, if your mother is trying to pay me a compliment, there's no reason that she cannot be heard.
I don't want mother talking to you, if you don't mind me for saying. I don't want her talking to you.
Well, sir, why would you be hostile like that?
I'm not hostile. Please understand, Mr. Canosa, I don't... the way a man makes his living is no business of mine. But when my mother is beginning to get on the phone and act like she's 14... And she's talking to you in a certain way, I don't need to be looking for her in the middle of the night driving up and down streets
with a searchlight on. You, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, sir, I don't understand. I'm not going to lure your mother into the bushes at night.
Well, all I'm saying is this. I've heard you on the program with the tongue wagging out of the head.
It's not that you see, sir.
Well, allow me to finish, okay?
Yes, but it's not my tongue to wag out of my head.
And tell him how you're in the closet.
Would you get off the extension, Mother, in the name of God Almighty, in the name of God, all of the angels, and Lucifer that he cast down, get off the extension.
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
You gave birth to me.
Too bad.
You gave birth to me.
It's too bad.
And you gave birth to me.
All right, let's grow up. Grow up, okay?
All right, well, in any event, Mr. Canoza, I'd be willing to bet you dollars to donuts, which is an American expression.
Yes, sir, I'm familiar with that expression. I love America. I'm familiar with the American expression.
Well, all right, if you love America so much, then perhaps you would do me the good service of allowing that I know a little bit about the love of the how to do the love to a lady, too. Okay.
Well, I think you put it awkwardly. I'm talking about making love to a woman, you know, and...
That's what I'm talking about, how to make the love to a woman. And I know a little bit about that. Only the difference between you and me is that the love that I want to go ahead and do to a woman is clean, it is crisp, it is clean. In other words, I'm not going to defile her by saying, go ahead and get your clothes off. You don't have to do that with Larry Grover. You don't have to embarrass. I will make love to a woman with most of her clothes on. And then, when we're finished, all of the sheets, all of the everything that we've used will go into a solvent, some kind of cleansing liquid.
God, Larry.
Mother, excuse me, am I saying that I'm having sex with you? No.
It's still sickening, Larry.
Let me say this.
No, I'm not done yet. And then you can say what you do. It goes into a solvent, gasoline-based. It's clean. In other words, there's respect. What do you offer, sir? Okay, the floor is yours.
You just made an ass out of yourself.
Oh, no, I did not.
Mr. Grover, you never, ever tell Rudy about love.
Well, I just did.
Well, you... No, you never tell Rudy Canoza about love, okay?
I just did.
No, you did not. You never tell Rudy about love.
I did.
I want to kick you. First of all, let me say, when I go up to a woman, you with your solvent, you with your make love to her and she doesn't take her clothes off, okay? If I go up to that exact same woman and I say, she will strip. For me.
You're going to go up to a woman and go, like you're the Wolfman, like you're Dracula, like you're the mummy, just out of the box. You're fresh out of the box, a mummy, bound up tight, and you're going to go, and that's going to get her to strip?
Larry, I think it's a lot sexier.
Mother, I'm not done. Don't grab the phone out of my hand. Never get between a dog and his meat.
Well, your meat hasn't been used very much.
Oh, baby.
You see how your mother mocks you?
Oh, baby.
But do you see how your mother mocks you? Your own mother, she mocks you. And why?
I'll tell you why. Because no one gives me any respect. No one will even give my side the benefit of consideration. I'm talking about solvent. I'm talking about cleanliness. I'm talking about making love with your clothes on. And what are you talking about? Grunting at her like you're a mummy out of the box. And I can tell you, sir...
I don't know what you're saying, your mommy. You talk about your mommy?
Oh, a mummy, you jackball. Oh, God, I hate you. And the things that you have said on your program tonight, which only makes a guy like me look even smaller. It makes me look small in stature, and additionally, the you-know-what shrinks up.
Well, Larry, I can hardly get any smaller.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? So you weren't kidding when you called me Missile You-Know-What and the countdown started at 3. That was done on purpose, huh?
I think, Larry, you understand.
Well, I don't know this kind of juvenile talk. I'm only going to say to you...
It's not juvenile. It's not juvenile. It's not juvenile.
The phone, Larry.
It's not you.
You see, Rudy, he can't deny it much longer. He can't deny it.
Well, if he's talking about making love to a woman in a pan of gasoline...
I didn't say a pan of gasoline, you dumb Mexican.
I am not from Mexico. I am Argentinian.
Larry, I didn't raise you to be an ignoramus. I didn't raise you to say the dirty, vile things you're saying. Why are you doing that, Larry?
Because he makes me angry. I don't like the things he says.
Well, Larry, Rudy, he knows how to treat a woman. Don't you, Rudy?
I know how to say to a woman, I love you.
How do you say it? See?
And you're trying to tell me... Give me that.
Larry, please, Larry.
Give me that phone. You're trying to tell me that's the way to talk to a woman? You go, boo-hoo-hoo. You sound like a guy that lost his tongue in some kind of an accident, and all he's got left is a pan and a hat, and he's...
Hello?
He's laying on the floor crying. I think what has happened here is your manhood has really tested his mettle. It really has.
Well, I don't have to say I thank you, Mrs. Grover. I have to move on. It's time for a commercial, you know.
I understand. Thank you, Rudy, so much.
Of course. He's laying on the floor, huh?
Yeah. Larry?
Anna!
He's laying. He'll probably spend the night there.
All right. Thank you, dear. My goodness. My goodness. All right. Well, let's pray for poor Larry Grover tonight, that he sees the error of his ways and that he's not forever inviting women to his home only to say to them, hey, I will make love with you, but you don't have to take your clothes off. What kind of madman, what kind of madness is this? Madness. The madness. Rudy Conoza here for Phil Hendry, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget his website, the Phil Hendry Show. .com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And only I am Rudy.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, he's a world famous the Phil Hendry Show, and this is a Rudy Conoza. There was Phil right there. Uh-oh, I'm not supposed to have the American flag on a Phil TV. I apologize for that. I was told by Phil, and he said to be very specific, he said to me, now, Rudy, don't you ever mock the flag of America. I said, I would never do that, Phil, you know that. And he says, but sometimes you kind of make a mistake. And have the flag come up on the TV, the Phil TV, too early. Now, we have a flag that comes at the end of our broadcast for those of you who don't hear Phil TV, but the flag is never to be appear before that. My apologies to my fellow, from my humans from planet Earth, but the people of America. I love and respect your country. The Tonight Show is going to receive the Rudy blessing this evening. There's a few people we have to give the Rudy blessing to tonight before we before we leave the airwaves. We're going to give the Rudy blessing tonight to Jay Leno. Jay Leno has apparently lost the job of a Tonight Show. I remember when I first came to this country to see Johnny Carson on the TV. And Johnny Carson was, of course, legendary, the greatest. Johnny Carson, he didn't want to see Jay Leno, I don't think. I read the book, said that Johnny Carson, he would, Jay Leno, he would, no, I don't know if that's true or not. I think that's very, that harshes my buzz to hear that, you know. So I want to give Jay Leno the Rudy blessing he's going to need. That's the Rudy blessing for Jay Leno. I know it sounds disgusting and stupid, and it's idiotic, and I don't even like doing it anymore, but the people request it, so I do it. Another Rudy blessing is being requested for Jennifer Capriati. Jennifer Capriati is a name you may know, and a name you may trust, or a name you may not trust. I don't know. Maybe you don't know her from Adam. Maybe you wouldn't know her if you fell over her and she was decomposing on the street. But Jennifer Capriati at one time was one of the biggest names in tennis. She was one of the biggest names in tennis, let me tell you what. And Jennifer Capriati, well, Jennifer Capriati is stalking her ex-boyfriend now. This is embarrassing for a young lady to do. So I say, Jennifer Capriati, I'm going to give you the blessing, the Rudy blessing.
A-la-la-la-la.
Sold, American. As for Jennifer Capriati, also the Rudy blessing tonight goes to Eric Estrada. Eric Estrada, who is also a police officer in real life. Would you believe that Eric Estrada is a police officer? He is a cop in Indiana, but he also is an actor. And he's in a movie now called Chupacabra versus the Alamo. Huh? Huh? That's right. That is Eric Estrada. So tonight we give to Eric Estrada the Rudy blessing. One, two, three, everyone. Let me see if I'm overlooking anybody. And I want to say to Ted Johnson of the radio station, I don't know, don't you call a man's wife a pig. Don't ever say she's pig-like, even if she is a pig. I've known some women in my day who are pigs, but I would never say they're pigs. I would certainly not say they're pigs to their new husband. I would not even say they're pig to them. I would only say they're pigs to myself as I'm washing up in the evening, as I'm bathing and cleaning myself off for my next date. As I'm coming in from one date and getting ready for another. Maybe, and only maybe, would I say in the mirror to the woman as she is in my mind, you pig. And I would never say it to her, and I would never say it to her husband, because that is a sure way of losing your life. That is sure. Rudy is sure you will lose your life. You're listening to the music here of She is my progeny. She is my special project. Her name is Luca Malalebuto. And, man, I've got some plans for her, and it ain't got nothing to do with music. All right, let me see if I have, I'll take one more phone call. I'm going to give some lucky lady a break here tonight and take one more phone call. This is Karen. Karen, hello, Rudy Canoza. You're on with Rudy Canoza. Karen, how are you?
Hey, hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, Karen. How are you?
I can't believe that I'm talking to you.
Well, Karen, I'm very happy to be on the phone with you. What can I do for you tonight?
I was wondering if you can give me the Rudy blessing. Can you give me the Rudy blessing?
You want the Rudy blessing, do you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yes, how old are you, dear?
I'm 27.
27 years old, okay. Are you ready? There it goes, the Rudy blessing. Karen, are you all right? Karen, are you all right?
Man, that was out of sight. That was out of sight.
All right, Karen. God bless. Have a good evening, huh?
Man, you're good. Woo!
Hey, huh? Rudy. You know, someone told me that there was a movie called Rudy, and it was about a football player who was a midget. You can have all the midgets you want. I don't care. They could play football, billiards. They could be poker players. They could race automobiles. They could race camels. Be a camel race. Not a guy. I didn't say camel jockey. I said in an actual camel race. They would never compare to Rudy. Never. Let's go now to Debbie in New York City. Debbie, how are you? Debbie, hello. You're on the air. Hold on for a moment. Who is it? Debbie Daly from Daly's Daily. And I understand you are a hearing impaired, correct?
Yeah, I'm a hearing impaired on the radio.
You're on the radio. You have a radio show.
Yeah, every morning.
Okay, I'm sorry I don't speak deaf and dumb. I shouldn't.
I'm not deaf and dumb. I don't really know what you've been writing down here. You know, a real young man.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't understand.
All
I know is your name is Debbie Daly, and you have a show where there's. You're hearing impaired.
Yes, Debbie Daly, I'm hearing impaired. I'm getting young. yin-yang.
I'm a what?
A yin-yang.
Did you call me the N-word?
No, you ass. I know you. I'm yin-yang.
I don't. I can't get it. I can't get with that, you know?
I even can't get with it.
This is Rudy Canoza. I will see you later. Phil Hendry is back on Monday. God bless. God bless.
Right?
Phil Hendry.